Earlier this year, I decided to give HIMS a try in order to shed some weight I've been struggling to get off for the last 6 years, and I'm so glad I did. If you want to know what's really worth your time when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by HIMS. HIMS offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include Wegovy pill and Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. With Wegovy at HIMS, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles needed, which is really kind of nice. Through HIMS, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if the treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. HIMS makes hitting your goals seamless by offering 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition choices like recipes, meals, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, HIMS makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as long as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/40klore to get personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/40klore. hims.com/40klore. Weight loss by HIMS is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit HIMS.com. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote on discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. With the summer here, I needed to add some new bits to my wardrobe. After eking out the absolute most I possibly could out of some stuff I bought maybe a decade ago, it was time for a refresh. And that's where Quince came in. With Quince, I was able to get some great new swimwear and some new summer casual pants that both work great and look great. The fits are clean, the fabric feels nice, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. I'm able to look way more put together, but still feel casual and comfortable. For example, the summer pants I got fit really well, but more importantly, they breathe really well, so they can handle whatever temperature it is outside, which in the upper Midwest summer can be quite a treat some days. And the swimwear is great for when I just gotta get away from that heat. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring and summer. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34, lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together. Their pants also hit that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much everywhere. And everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands, because Quince works directly with ethical factories to cut out middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/40klore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/40klore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/40klore.
Welcome to the 40K Lore Cast.
Welcome to the 40K Lore Cast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy. Surprise.
Yeah, it's a surprise cast. Bonus cast, everybody. So we wanted to get this out with the 11th edition coming around and just kind of have a little bit of fun. Brad and I just are talking a lot about 11th edition, and we thought it'd first be text. Fun. Yeah, for us to kind of go through. I mean, look, there's enough people discussing the core rules and that stuff. We actually kind of want to get in here and a little bit of shit talk this. So let's have some fun. That was kind of more the goal here, and give you guys our opinions of what 11th edition is going to be and some fun elements of it. So that's really all this is.
Hi, surprise. We're here. So GW, I would say thank you, GW, for giving us an advanced copy, but they didn't because we don't matter that much. So we got the same thing all of you have, the downloadable core rules.
How are we not getting advanced copies yet?
I don't want that. I don't. I'm fine with it. I'm fine being common. I'm okay.
Common folk.
We belong with the common folk.
We actually probably belong
behind them. It should have been.
I will go to the back of the bus where everybody expects me.
We probably should have had these sent to us by someone else. Like, oh yeah, you guys don't. GW blocked your IP addresses. Fair enough. But yeah, so we get the core rules came out. I will be honest. I expect a lot of these rules to be wrong, given the history of GW when they release rule sets that they're going to go, oh, oops, don't follow the stuff in the print book. But
what? Hold on, John. We're going to start with a dig and then we're going to talk about things that I really like. Because on the first picture of real people supposedly playing the game.
The second picture of the entire thing, Brad and I just spent about 10 minutes going over it together.
Well, there's two dice that are cocked. Why do you have them cocked?
Okay, yeah. We have two people playing. We have, for whatever reason, him being oddly helpful to the man and woman. She's holding the tape measure wrong, objectively holding it wrong. If you hold it like that, it's going to ricochet right back in. That is not how you measure. Well, you have to keep your finger on top of...
just that. She's measuring nothing is the problem.
Yeah, she's measuring nothing. The tape measure is extended, but she's not holding the lock button down, which means at any second, this thing's just going to retract. So there's no value to this. He's pointing down with his hand, but smiling. He's doing a gesture with his hand, which is gesture. No, he's not smiling.
Whoa, you're missing. He's trying to pretend that he just rolled the dice.
Yeah, but they're not rolled. One of them is cocked and sitting on top of something.
Well, I actually think that there's tried to pretend that this is an action shot and these dice are in the process. Also, if you did this in a game and you rolled your dice on top of somebody's models, they'd fight you.
Yeah, I just look at you like, what? Get a dice tray. Also, my favorite part is one thing Brad and I noticed is we're pretty sure this is, well, I can't remember what this board is. It looks like it's a cardboard board, but I'm worried this is the old GW many years ago decided to make their own boards and they were plastic. And Brad probably remembers a few of you guys remember these things. They were these plastic boards you could paint and they would actually assemble together and they would come together to form the single worst playing surface in the history of 40K. Because any model you put on them would fall down and any dice you rolled on them would skip across the floor. You actually were more successful rolling dice on concrete than you were on these plastic boards. So anyway, with that out of the way, we can continue into the actual rules of the actual game.
So let's start with this, with cool things like in the very beginning. We'll go top to bottom from where it starts. Battleshock doesn't just auto go away, which made Battleshock an actual thing that people give a shit about.
Yeah, so let's talk more about, we have the history of 40K, so we can talk a bit more about this. We're bringing back something that was tantamount to most editions. The idea was that once your unit reduced in size to a certain point, you took a leadership check. And once you failed that leadership check, you then had to regain your leadership. The idea being that a unit, it's meant to be, got scared, for lack of a better phrase, and would start running away. Now,
it gets broken.
Yeah. They didn't make you run away anymore because, as Brad and our other co-host Alan will happily tell you, of those glorious days of being escorted off the board
and run down.
Yeah,
scattered.
Those were some glory days that shall probably never return. Fortunately, unfortunately. But the problem with Battleshock is for many editions now, I think definitely eighth, I don't know, in seventh edition, did leadership matter?
Yeah, if you had unbreakable stuff.
Yeah, so
you could take damage.
Okay, that's what it was. Eighth edition, it mattered, but a lot of guys had ways to ignore it. We haven't had leadership matter for a little bit, so Night Lord players, well, excited, you might matter again.
Yeah, I was say for 10th edition, Battleshock just didn't make a difference because it auto cleared at the beginning of your command phase.
In 9th edition, it was useless. It was so easy to
pass. That's true.
9th edition too.
The things that I do like. So first off, let's talk about the edition. 11th edition is a 10 point, I have to call it the 10.5-ish, because the first thing, your data sheets still make a difference. All the same things still apply. Everything on an old data sheet
TBD.
Counts.
TBD.
Okay, how about this? in the downloadable rules, they even show you a boy's card, and all of the things are exactly the same as before. It's
except for all the different words.
But I'm saying that like it's set up the same way. Everything's the same.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you grief because it's like everything. The reason why is in 10th edition, just for people who don't play the game, in 10th edition, every time they released a codex, they would release a codex and they would sell data cards with it. And you could buy data cards, and those data cards became outdated within one
instantaneously.
Day.
Instantaneously.
Yeah, sometimes one day, but definitely within 3 months, were completely useless. So,
in good news, I really like that they've put everything. The way that they started doing stratagems in 10th edition was very nice. It's the who's eligible, when can you do it, who can you affect it on. And now they've done this with every step of the game. When you get out of a vehicle, when you move, when you do something, they have charts. So if you actually, I say print it out because I'm an old man, if you have it on your phone, your tablet, your whatever, you could literally follow through the stages of the game, the phases.
When was the last time you printed something out and brought it to a tournament with you?
I actually have Snigs print out score sheets because I'm going to a tournament I care about. I keep actual physical score because I forget shit.
Okay. So outside of that, when was the last time you printed out?
I have a printer. It's on the floor. I haven't had
2000
before COVID.
There we go. Thank you. I appreciate your support of the player base, but I'm just calling it out. Love you to death, buddy.
Also, you know that I would never get that printer to work, but but I'm saying you could go through these things and look at what is this rule, and you can walk through. I think this is going to be one of the things I wanted to talk about with what we're doing today. Is there's a lot of people that are very, very new or haven't even started playing that listen to our cast, and I think this is a good addition to start in because you can walk through things a lot easier than you could in other.
This is one of the easier additions we've seen to pick the game up with. And it's because it is a bit more, the order of operations is being made more linear with each version. There are still some challenges, and you know, look, this game is complicated. We're never going to pretend for a second this game isn't complicated. You will be playing it for months before you really start to really get a good grasp of it, but you can start playing it quickly and, you know, enjoy it.
I actually think that this is going to be an easier game to get into. There is going to be a pretty big learning curve to be medium plus, because there's going to be some moments where you're like, I got pretty punished by stuff. Now, one of the hugest things in this edition, and it's a change that is bigger. I mean, we've had the same engagement range for forever. Engagement range is now 2 inches, which it used to be 1 inch.
I did like you opened up with, let's go in order. And now you just skipped 45 pages.
No, I did not.
Really? Where's engagement range? I'm on the command phase. Where's engagement range?
Page 14. Don't worry about it. It's in order. There's nothing to say of those things. I already said that go step by step by step.
No, because you skipped some really important bits.
I did not. Go ahead.
All right. So let's get into the first one I want to talk about is movement phase. It was actually a very big change to movement phase. And one of the big changes is that coming in from reserves no longer happens at the end of movement phase. Your entire movement phase happens in whatever order you want your movement phase to happen in. This is, to Brad's point, really nice for new players. One of the challenges we've had in prior editions has been, was it Tony got Tonied?
Is that Grapando. Grapando got Grapando'd.
Yeah. So one of the challenges in Warhammer has been the chess thing of, you know, did you take your finger off the piece? And it has been a real annoyance in the game for a long time. Because it had to do with Overwatch. That's why they fixed it.
But I'm saying, we're going to skip a smidge ahead because I'm just going to give it the all things that you can reactively do now, except for reactive moves. We'll see if they change those. Yep. But anything that is a reaction to something you're doing happens now at the end of the phase. So for instance, if I can once a turn use Overwatch, which means I can shoot at something at a reduced ballistic skill. And I would, technically, he would have to move a model, wait for me to say no, move a model, wait for me to say no.
Yep.
And the same thing was in the charge phase. I'd have to move a charge, wait for him to see if he was going to heroic you heroic intervention on me. And now all of these things are at the end and all of these things happen all together. For instance, pile-ins and consolidates. Active player piles in everything, then the non-active player consolidate, you know, so on and so forth. It makes it so much better.
Yeah. We're going to talk about how you can game. There's a negative to this I'm going to get to in a second, but the initial is there's a nice positive to it. For I think to your point, for a newer player, it's nice because I don't have to, you know, bring my models out and say, hey, these aren't on the board, but I'm going to put them there in a minute so that they're not down yet. Like I literally bring guys in from Deep Strike and lie them on their side in a place like, hey, they're going to be there in a minute, but I'm not putting them down now just in case I'm playing an opponent who wants to play the game that way. Okay, hey, these are on their side.
And why, by the way, why Jeff's saying that is because reserves used to be the end of your movement phase. Yep. So if you brought a reserve in, you are basically declaring that this is the end of the phase.
Yeah. And people would try and force that sometimes on you and say, okay, you're done moving now. No, I'm not. I just, you know, whatever. So this is nice. This is helpful. The problem with that is that what they did was, to Brad's point, we have a thing called Overwatch. And in Overwatch, I get to shoot at you for moving. The problem with this is that Overwatch used to be declared when you went to move, and it used to be when you would start or finish a move. Because now you Overwatch at the end of a movement phase, I can now move stuff behind walls and not be Overwatched, which
I'm
means
fine with that because you can now choose.
I'm not because I, you know, sometimes when you can I'll use a very simple example. In my turn, I shoot a unit down to a single character left. You then now can retreat that character behind a wall.
Not having to ask you every single time.
Oh, no. Can move. I get that. All my point is that's the issues. I wish Overwatch should be able to be declared at the beginning. It's not the end of the world. It's just
because they don't want it unit by unit.
I get it. It's a sacrifice, but it is something that does
also
create.
Also, Overwatch significantly less powerful because Overwatch is now snapshots. Snapshots are only hit on sixes. Also, you cannot re-roll a snapshot. Yeah.
Flamers.
Exactly. Flamers are still way to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of flaming. So I will say the movement phase, the other big change to movement phase, which affects me a lot individually because I hate it. I play a lot of flying units, although actually my new army in 10th doesn't, 11th doesn't at all. The irony of this all is for all of 10th edition, I played units that had tons of fly. I love fly. And then for 11th edition, I'm building an Iron Warriors army that I think has like two flying units in the whole thing. But I respect fly, and fly is back. We figured out once again how to fly over things. The board is 3D again. What a wonderful thing.
I love the fly. I also love the fact that movement is technically now done straight line to straight line. So if I have 12 inches, but I want to make a bunch of moves and stuff, I can pivot as much as I want. It's no longer takes, like right now, if I pivot, you lose 2 inches, but you can gain a lot of inches in more vehicles. No, this is nice because you pick a piece of the, already show the diagram.
No, I saw it. We disagree on this one because I know how this is going to get manipulated.
You pick a piece though. You pick a piece and you cannot move farther than that goes. So I measure all of my movement. I'm going to move this rhino. I'm going to start the movement and I'm going to measure off what they're showing in the diagram is they're measuring off the left corner. You measure off the left corner, period, and you do it in straight lines. So you can never get farther than 12 inches of movement on that.
I get that. The issue has to do with the terrain. The issue I have with that is some of the terrain.
Kind of, but it's so much better than it is now because I can pretty big.
Let's just call it out. So people who don't understand, one of the challenges in this game is that the terrain is angled. Some of these models, I think, you know, Brad used the term rhino. Rhino is a bad example. And the reason why is because a rhino is almost a perfect rectangle. The bigger challenge is army I play, the Raider. Or, you know,
long cylindrical vehicles.
Yeah, some of these vehicles are the Wave Serpent. They don't have a very good shape. So kind of figuring out where it begins and where it ends
is
almost impossible.
Again, you can try to game and get extra inches.
Oh, no, that's what I'm agreeing because you're
picking a point now.
And that's why I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is those models allowed you to, players could manipulate it a little bit. If I needed, if it has a 12-inch movement, you could get 13 pretty easily. And it's hard to see.
It's laughable.
Yeah. It's hard to see what they did. And so what they're saying now is, screw it. You can only go this far. The challenge to it now, though, is that you're going to be getting a lot more movement out of them than you were getting before if you're enforcing it on a dense board, which we're not seeing a lot of these days. Again, everything is a yin and a yang. And so I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. What I'm saying is, just like I was saying with the Overwatch thing, in order to gain this thing of the movement phases are going to be a lot quicker and a lot cleaner, you are going to lose the ability to pick off weak units. Much in the same way with this, you know, yes, we're going to have a cleaner way to move vehicles. We're not going to see as much gaming of the vehicle movement. But the flip side is, you're going to have to watch out for vehicles. They're going to be getting firing angles much more easily because they will be able to get much more movement than they did before.
Yeah, we have less blocking
scenarios.
The new terrain also has way less walls and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, let's talk about in the movement phase. If you want to go there, this is a little bit farther because it goes with terrain.
Yep.
You can now toe touch again. Mwah. Chef's kiss, because
toe touch is critical. Yes.
Nothing
yes.
is more annoying to me than coaching and trying to explain the current terrain rules, which are bananas. You know, holy within versus not. Now,
am I a knight? Am I not a knight? Yeah. Can I do this? Oh, good.
Am I holy within? Am I not? You know, but right now it goes back to old school, which is if your model's touching any piece of the terrain, you true line of sight, look through that terrain. If there's a wall in front of you, you can't see. If there's not, you see right through it. I love that rule. Also, coherency. Coherency changed for the better. People can argue with me on this. People that love to play Horde. I like to play Horde.
Let me make an argument here. The only issue I have with it, I would like to see one small change. I would like to see it be 9 inches for 10 models or less, 12 inches for 10 models or more.
That's the
only change, because with Gaz and 20 boys, 9 inches is tight. That's my issue.
So let's talk about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that phrase made no sense, but I'm continuing on. Party on, Garth. So the new coherency is you have to be 2 inches from another model. It used to be 2 inches from two models. Now it's easier to do that, but you now have a total diameter of 9 inches that your unit has to be. So effectively, you have a circle, 9 inches. Everybody has to be inside that circle. You have to end your movement 9 inches away.
So I think we can say blast templates not coming back.
Yes. Apocalyptic blast, which is that, basically.
Exactly. Like, all right, I hit everything.
All of your units. Yeah. But one of the reasons for this is because right now in 10th edition, I could zipper formation, basically up, down, to keep everybody within two inches of two models. If I had a 20-25 man unit, I could string completely out and stop you from engaging anything behind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to do this.
And they just didn't want that.
Yeah, I used to do this. If I ran two infiltrate units, I could take two infiltrate units. If I got first turn, I could advance them up the board and you wouldn't get a first movement phase because I could actually take two units and you could not move. And because they were spread so far out, that is unacceptable. Again, my complaint around it is we do have 20 model units,
yeah.
And 9 inches is not as big as people think. There's a great joke there. I'm not going to make it because for obvious reasons, but that diameter is not as large, especially in, there are examples people have already started posting of like Gaz, for example, Gaz and Makari with 20 boys means they are base to base in order to be within 9 inches, which means if there is terrain, they cannot fit. So all I'm saying is it would be nice. I'm hoping GW does an early change just to extend it to 12. Basically say, you know, 10 or less is 9, 10 or more goes to 12.
You've seen people playing Recon Guard and stuff like that and just making the game miserable.
Oh, yeah, no.
Screen the board with one unit.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you go to 18 if you have 20. I'm just saying, okay, we're going to recognize that an attached model unit, this will get a little bit larger. That's all. It's just give them enough space that we can account for terrain. But it is a good change because the daisy chaining of units was stupid. And it looked
weird. Also made less, it made less interaction. You could just keep people away from you.
Oh, you could do, there were so many dirty tricks. It also was a good way to block out Deep Strike. These were things that people used to game what I would call myself, actually, a B minus, depending on how many beer, some C plus, if I'm really drunk, player. You could really shut me down if I had stuff off board. A good player would see that. They'd advance, they'd daisy chain a player, and all of a sudden, I just don't get to come on the board, and I'm deep striking into my own deployment zone. It's going to be, this game's going to have a lot more free play in it. And that's one thing we're going to discuss as we kind of get later into this, like how we interpret this edition. This edition, here's what I'll say. You're going to be playing a lot more this edition, a lot more.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of engagement. I think the game's going to be very, very alpha strikey.
It's going to hurt.
We have less terrain. We have things on that. Again, it's easier to make engagement. Engagement is now 2 inches instead of 1 inch, so you can get on stuff. Now,
I know you love melee, but can we talk about the shooting phase first, please?
Fine. if you're going to be like...
I'm building an Iron Warriors army. This is going to come up a lot for me. All right? This is basically
why would you be shooting when you could be punching?
Because I have Vashtor.
He could punch. He's a great puncher.
Not really. He is, but what happens when you put him next to like 2 or 3 vehicles?
Nah, it's a lot easier you'd be cool with shooting if no one can shoot you back.
Yeah, it's like, what if I just go over there and all of that's dead? Oh, look, a Baden's nearby. Huh. That feels unfair. Anyway, so shooting phase. Shooting phase hasn't actually changed that much. Just a couple little small tweaks. We've got,
Well, let's talk dice real quick. That is the biggest thing. And it applies to all the phases. So right now, John is leading 10 Marines and I put 20 wounds on him. He would have to start taking his saves 10 at a time or lower because his character has different saves. Now they have what's called they batch dice instead of just fast rolling dice. If I gave him 20 saves, he would roll all of his saves and assign them however he wants, which makes your characters and special weapons people with like 4-up invuln, for instance. If he had old Marnius Kalgar had 2 guys with him that have 4-up invuln, which is a save that can't be modified. And if I shot last cannons at him, he would take the saves on those guys first, but then would have to keep taking the other saves. Yeah. Now you can assign your saves however you want in whatever order you want once they give them to you, which is a big, big deal.
I don't love this, but it's fine. It's that people are gonna game the crap out of that, but whatever.
You can't, they will, yes, and yeah, because you still assign, you still shoot your weapons in the order you want to shoot them.
I know, I know. I'm just saying, I get why they did it because it was actually very convoluted. But as far as shooting goes, a couple small changes.
It's also faster. They did a bunch of stuff that's fast, which I like quite a bit.
But the elements of shooting that matter is a couple things that matter to shooting. First off, let's talk about, if you advance, you have to have assault. Fine. If you heavy, +1 to hit. Cool.
No, +1 to heavy is different. Heavy now says if you move 3 or less, which means it's actually... use way more. Okay. Also, plunging fire used to be 5 inches, 6 inches or whatever or more.
You got
plus you're never getting it. Now it's anything with tower knights just auto get it. If they're 12 inches away, they get, and it's +1 to your ballistic skill, and models that are 3 inches or above get +1 ballistic skill. I like this quite a bit because it adds a lot. It also adds something that's going to happen.
I can tell you where my Havocs are going to be every single
pop up.
Yeah, my Havocs are going to be the second floor all the time.
Getting plus one. And the biggest thing about this second one is you can only have modifiers of +1 to hit or -1 total, but this is a separate modifier. So they're modifying... your ballistic skill is the number you hit on. So you're changing it for instance, those Havocs normally hit on 3s. If they're on plunging fire, they would be changed to hitting on 2s.
And which means I could also get a +1 to
plus
hit.
+1. Exactly. Yeah. And then if you're giving a -1, they're still hitting on a 2.
But exactly.
But so if you're shooting something in cover, now cover saves are now -1 to hit across the board.
Yeah, we'll talk about cover in a sec, because one more thing I would talk about is a love of mine, a hatred of yours, indirect fire.
I can suck it. Yeah. Suck it, Trebek. Love it.
Indirect fire took an interesting hit here. So indirect fire, which has been maybe the bane of existence in the game for a long time.
I hate indirect fire. Not as much as I hate it. Not as much as I hate aircraft, but still.
They're kind of one and the same, if we're being honest. Indirect fire is when you have artillery. The problem with this edition has a lot more ways to make your units invisible, for lack of a better phrase. It's hard, you know, ineligible to be shot. Indirect removes that. They can shoot anything on the board whenever they feel like it, which makes them very unique. But GW has decided to make it so, yeah, if they only hit on sixes.
Yeah, they can hit on...
Unless they can see you.
Well, no, it's somebody else has to see. If somebody else can spot for you, which I like quite a bit, it's fine.
You can hit on fours and fives and sixes.
Yep. And what the other thing is again, they don't have rerolls on that.
The only thing I'll say about this is I am quite concerned as to how GW points these models out, because this is a very heavy-duty nerf to indirect fire. Anyone who's played the game for a while knows that indirect weapons are monstrous when they're good. So the question is, does my Basilisk go down to 100 points? Because if so, I'll put three of them on the board.
just YOLO swag it. You're like, I'll roll only sixes.
Well, I'll put three on the board and put Scout Sentinels on the board. And cool, I can see you now. Goodbye. 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 And just hammer you off the board. Still D6 plus three shots. Bye. So there's that one. But with that, we actually should talk now about one of the biggest changes, which is cover. And this actually is maybe one of the most consequential changes to the game. Less to me about what they modify and more about the overall rule and how it modifies it. So forever, cover has modified your save. Even going back to second edition, third edition, just different way it modified, obviously, but it modified your save. That's gone now. Your save is now your save. Yep. What you get now is you change how I can hit you. You're adjusting my ability to hit you by subtracting one from my ability to hit.
It's also a big deal because you're not getting that bonus either unless your unit is all of them. So half your unit was in terrain and I can drive and see somebody that's not in terrain, right. I do not get that minus one to hit.
Two things on that. One, there's a lot more. You talked about something earlier. This is why this is important to me. We're keeping all of our own data cards. Mm-hmm. On all of our own data cards, all flamers, every torrent ignores cover. However, there's a lot of units that ignore the modifiers.
Yep.
To shooting.
So all Tau suits, all psychic weapons now.
Yeah. Dark Reapers. Yep. There's a bunch of stuff. So it's actually cover got a lot worse. Because a lot of stuff can ignore it. And then what you were just talking about compounds this. So the other thing before was what you would do is if I had 10 models and four of them were touching a terrain piece, those four were in cover. The other six were not. So when I went to
take
save,
that bonus
on them, now I get no cover save. It does not exist unless 100% of my models are all within cover. And cover is pretty aggressive now. They have to be at least partially obscured and or fully within the terrain piece.
Yep.
That's a lot. That's actually, for people who don't play the game, that's actually harder to pull off than you think.
We've been giving them props on a lot of stuff. We started snarking. I'm going to snark on this. The pictures they use of cover with the world's worst photoshopped guy behind.
Oh my it looks God. Like it,
I was just thinking about putting my face in there because it looks so ridiculous.
You can't see anything. It has no value.
Oh, I just love that they put the model and they just superimposed it on a picture. It's just bad Photoshop. You're like, come on, guys.
It looks
guys. Terrible.
What year is this? This is 1999?
The thing is they have unlimited terrain and models. They could have just taken an actual
picture. It looks more like they just almost splurged to buy Photoshop. And they're like, does anyone know how to get free Photoshop?
Why bother with splurging on free Photoshop when you could just take a picture of a model behind the terrain? You have all of them.
Boo. All right. But after that, we get to what's probably the biggest change in the game, one that I personally hate.
We'll be right back after a quick break. Starting a business is a massive challenge. You have an idea, but before you can ever get to doing that idea, you have to do 100 other tasks that are not that idea. One of the biggest challenges can be the commerce side of a business. I learned this the hard way. But finding a quality partner for your business is one of the most important things you can do. companies that will actually support you as you grow, and more importantly, help you grow. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce inside the US. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. And what if you get stuck? Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, and that can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes until kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting the days of sunshine. I know for me, summer can be a little bit tough as I'm juggling a lot more with work in addition to the regular families, hobbies, and friends. I often feel overwhelmed, and that overwhelming leads to feelings of stress as I worry that I'm letting others down. This at times leads me to actually dread the summer months, which then makes me mad at myself for dreading some of the best times of the year. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Charging.
I hate this. I hate this so much. I cannot express how much I hate this.
Channel your hatred.
No, it's, I feel, is an error. So, charge phase.
Let's talk about what it used to be. I used to have to declare my charges, and then I would roll to see if I made that charge.
And sometimes you're standing in the freaking wind.
Yeah. Now I roll, I say, I'm going to charge. I roll two dice, and then I declare my targets after I see how far I can go.
I hate this. This is stupid. It's just stupid. I don't get to do that with shooting. It doesn't do with anything else. It's hindsight.
Yeah, you do.
No,
you can pre-measure who you shoot.
No, I don't get to find out if I hit or not. If I have a last cannon in the unit, do I get to decide what the last cannon is shooting at?
Yes.
No. No, I don't. Not after knowing if it hits or not. I have to say, okay, I've got a squad that has a last cannon in it. Where do I put the last cannon? Do I know if it's going to hit and wound? No, I don't. Yeah. No, I don't get that level of hindsight. I detest this rule because it makes it too easy and it allows for too much confidence. The only way you kept melee
don't army, take away people's confidence,
yeah,
John.
The way, because this is the thing. I'm building my 13th army right now. I play a lot of different armies. I play melee armies. I play shooting armies. I play middle armies. The middle ones I'm terrible at. So I usually play one of the melee shooting armies. I don't play balance well at all. I played my orcs. I don't think I shot. I played a tournament where I didn't shoot a gun. But my point is, even though I play that level of melee, the way that you beat me when I'm playing heavy duty melee and the way I beat you when you're playing heavy duty melee is I put your charges at scary distances. So you are uncomfortable about where to put your models because you're afraid of failing charges.
Now that fear is gone. You just move up and roll your charges, and all, and you just assume I'll be close enough to get to one of them. Because what it used to be was, all right, I'm within maybe 5 inches of this one model. I couldn't keep you out of that one, but that unit doesn't matter at all to me. And you get to that model, that unit, you kill that unit, that's fine. I'm going to slaughter you after you kill that. But now you're within 5 inches, you're going to roll the dice. If you're rolling 11, you're into everything. And yeah. I don't know if you're going to get that. You don't know if you're going to get that. But before, most players wouldn't take that risk.
Yeah. Now move block those people, John. Yeah. Move block them.
They can't. There's limits to move block. Because what are going to move block them with? What are they going to charge with? That's the problem. I hate this. 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 It is a colossal error. I'm sorry. It just is. It's a colossal error. And it's a colossal error made worse by the thing we're both going to talk about, because we both thought at least it was limited by what you could
declared
find.
It. Now,
yes.
So they declared it in this. You know what? We're not even going to talk about how they.
Fine. But let's get into this. So you make a charge. You roll your stupid dice. And then you pick, after knowing what you can, how far you go, you pick whatever you want to go and do. So you move your models in. Then they make a nice change. One I fully agree with. We used to have a lot of gaming in the next piece of the game, which was the pile in and fight. So it used to be I would pile in, then I would fight. I go to my next unit. I would pile in and I would fight. And this would allow for a lot of extra weird movement and a lot of shenanigans. You know, not the good good shenanigans, not evil shenanigans.
Like, but yeah. We have more shenanigans now. So let's talk about
this. They screwed this up real bad. Yeah.
So
real bad.
We thought there was going to be, you could only attack things you could charge.
God, they jacked this up so bad. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking really screwed up melee bad. So
you move all your pylons at the same time, which is very, very nice. However, if you kill everything, one, I can just start touching things because you pile in towards the closest models. So I can just grab shit that I wasn't fighting. And now because of the fact that it's 2-inch engagement, I have so much ability to just grab all of your units.
So
the other thing is,
hold on,
overrun.
Just to help you understand this back. So what that means is I roll my 6-inch charge. Okay. I move as close as I can. So I have to move to to whatever's closest. I declare. I move towards this thing that's
not the closest. No, you do not.
Well, no, to whatever I declare. So I'm saying is I roll a 6-inch charge. Yeah. And
whatever
I say,
you declare, you have to move closer to that.
And I have to move towards that. But in moving closer to that, I'm within 5 inches of another unit. I now on pile in can go into that other unit.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
Now let's talk about what's even better on this is if we blow something up, like you kill the transport, whatever, you can do now what's called an overrun. So I charge 2 units into John's unit and blow it up. I've just now moved 3. I move my charge plus I move 3. And then I can now go, oh, it's my turn to fight. I am not engaged. So I'm now going to make another pile in. So I moved another 3. So say an average dice roll is 7. I did a 7-inch charge. I moved 6 and I'm now within 2. And then I get a consolidate move on top of that. Yeah. Also, there are armies and units that have 6-inch consolidates.
Yeah.
So I could possibly do this twice and move 7-6-6.
Yeah, so they really screwed this up, candidly. I mean, and this is something that when Brad and I are complaining about this, we're not the only ones complaining about this. There's a lot of players who have noticed.
And this might be like FAQ.
We're hoping they FAQ this, because the idea behind when they first announced it was, when you declare a charge, the only thing you can fight is what you charge. The one exception being if you charge a transport, you could fight what was inside the transport, which made sense. Okay, that's fair. But now we're seeing the thing that you could do in 10th edition, which people did not like, which means I would charge target A.
But worse.
Fight charges B, C, D, and E.
You didn't have Overwatch in 10th edition, or Overrun,
Yeah.
In 10th edition. So now I can get super deep into people. That's
And we can, and I can shut you down, because don't forget, we still have the problem of, and the issue with overrun is we still have fallback. So the challenge is that if I just get into you, yeah, you can fight me, but you don't get to move in the next turn. So if I have things that are decently tanky, cough, cough, my orcs and waffes, I could use plays like this, get into you pretty deep, and I'm going to remove your next movement phase.
Oh, there's also people that don't let you move.
Yep. Which is
exalted. You know what I mean? Exalted Ape.
Exalted. Yep. There's a lot of this stuff. And that's where, as I love the melee phase, this is something they've really screwed up. And I just kind of thing,
yep, I'm going back to the things they do well because of the fact that they have the charts again. Let's go through phases on that a little bit.
It's easy to see charts of where they screwed up.
I like it. Yeah, that's true. Awesome. But I do love, I like, for instance.
You can get out your protractor to see all the parts they got wrong.
But they go through, they make it a lot easier to say who can do what. They change names on stuff, which is annoying. Close combat shoot.
They also fixed engagement range. I will say, I do like the fact engagement range is now just 2 inches, no more base-to-base fighting. I know people who run mounted units. It sucks for you and your horses. Weird. But for some people, they didn't like it. But this actually sucks. Maybe go for a ride and figure it out. But the issue with it is, just kidding. The problem with, this was a change I do want to talk about. One of the changes it used to be was, the way it worked was, anyone in base-to-base contact fought, within an inch fought, or an inch and a half. And then anything...
No, it was an inch. It was 1 inch.
Within an inch, within an inch fought, anything in base contact with something within that inch contact fought, which works really well.
No. That's, they started down. So
that's how it was.
It was, you had to be, if you wanted to fight two models, you had to have a guy in base combat that was
base to base. Yes.
Base to base. You basically had everyone had to be base to base. Yeah. If you wanted to fight two models, that those two models had to be,
they had to be touching. They had to be touching. Yeah. And then the front one had to be touching the enemy. The issue with that is Hormigaunts, which did have a little bit of an extra rule, but what happens, and some of us, like I use custom bases, depending on how you modeled your units, it actually could be hard to do this without breaking models. The issue.
It also, like, it used to be have giant people with giant bases.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Bobby G, you know, whoever's Logan, anybody leading on a 60, you would have that guy touch, and then everybody else would touch him.
Touch him, and he could, and everyone could fight. So you had a fighting
the
from
the giant orc on the bike, the war truck's on an oval. So you could just touch, you could be six inches away from the fight, and everybody can fight through him.
You have bikers fighting from like down the street, like through him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It caused a lot of weird challenges. My problem is less about that distance. My problem was actually more, it really was hard to get some of my horde models, or even some of my witches when I was playing Drukhari, some of the gladiatorial weapons, the way that they would actually get in the way. So I couldn't physically put them in base.
It's easier now. You just go, hey, are you within 2 inches? The other thing that they did a great job of is consolidate. Consolidate right now is 3 inches, but then if I could get within engagement range, so effectively, even though consolidate said it was 3 inches, it was actually 4 inches because I could go three now. Yeah. If you're not within three, you're just not within three. You just don't care. It's not engagement range. It is just, you make a 3-inch movement. If the 3-inch movement would base to base you with a unit, then you could move. If the 3-inch movement touches the terrain objective, now you can move, period. There's no
otherwise you don't
engagement
move.
Yeah, yeah, you don't move.
Otherwise you don't move, which is nice because it does affect coherency. But yeah, so that's kind of the end of the basic rules. Now we're going to dig into like the real nuts and bolts of this game, where they made some changes. And the first thing they made changes for was terrain. It's going to come out.
The thing is, we're going to pause on that one. Pause on that. We don't have the mission packet out, which talks about the terrain. So let's not bother.
No, the terrain's in there. I want to talk about the terrain and the density. Right.
It's just, the problem is just, you don't have enough of it yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do. I do.
I mean, you do and you do. I mean, I'm just saying we can't talk about the actual mission stuff. I also have the French stuff too.
Yeah, we all have the French stuff. Whatever. Who cares? They didn't send it to us. It's not my fault I got it illegally. Whatever. Yarr. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if GW doesn't want me like using their pirated stuff, tell them to stop giving it to the French. Like, you engage in a 500 years war with somebody and then you're surprised if they start leaking it to the internet. Whatever. Don't. Look, the issue is, so one thing in 11th edition that is both good and bad is the terrain changes. And when I say good and bad, it depends what army you play. One of the big issues that we had in 10th edition, 9th and in 10th even more so, was the terrain started getting really dense. Really, really dense.
It was just walls. It was city. It was buildings.
And it was close together. So for example, Brad doesn't care much for Bane Blades because he is the fun police, but there's a lot of models that you actually couldn't play with in 10th edition. There were certain deployments you actually could not put the model, you could put on the board, but it wouldn't go anywhere. And this GW seems to have noticed that. And they've now opened the terrain up quite a bit. So now there's almost nothing that you can't get from one side of the board to the other. Might take you a bit. It might take you three turns, but you can't.
It's also it's visibility on that. You can see units. While the charge is going to be different on stuff, you have way less places to stage. Because right now, the game was played with you putting your models right behind walls and then going to the next set of walls. That is how the game is played.
It was a leapfrog.
In 10th edition.
It's just, the 10th edition.
And now that is not the game because they just took away 80% of the walls on the terrain.
Yeah. So now in 10th edition, you have dense and light terrain and some other things, but let's call it what it's going to be. Dense and light terrain. We know what we're going to see everywhere, right? I mean, find crater. Don't.
Also, the terrain's the objective, so you have to get in the terrain.
It's going to be a slaughter fest. So the two ways it works is we've got, I'm going to call it big terrain, little terrain. It's actually a lot easier than calling it dense and light. It's easier calling it big terrain, little terrain. Big terrain is dense terrain. Dense terrain you can hide from in. Little terrain you cannot hide in. Little terrain bad.
That's you really can't hide in either, man. I can just walk over slightly.
It depends what you're playing. Like if you're playing small models, you can hide.
Sure, big terrain. But they only on the big terrain, they have walls that'll be in a corners. It used to be the wall took up the entire piece of terrain. Now, if you're hiding behind that wall and I'm playing a fast army, I will shimmy 10 inches. I'm gonna come over the side.
There's gonna be a lot of coming around and saying hello. This is going to be, so I'll get to my conclusion in a second, but in effect, the big terrain is what allows you to kind of have much more line of sight blocking. It's where you're going to have all of your, we'll talk about the objective situation in a minute, but in dense terrain or big terrain, infantry, beast, so kind of favor those are swarm, which is small infantry, and mobile, which is, I don't know, which is mobile's just, that's suits, I assume. Which one's mobile?
It's just everything goes through it now because those things that fly.
But they go through it. It's a difference. So all those guys go through. Monsters and whatnot can't go through the big terrain. They can go around it. The little terrain, everything goes through.
Well, it's the pieces that make no difference anyways, though. It's small. Yeah. It's 2-inch pipes and everything else that you can walk through. But you can't end on it, though, period.
You can't end on it, but that makes a big difference in a lot of the way that you move stuff through because... That's a huge change. In 10th edition, you didn't see a lot of that. In 10th edition, everything had to go around everything unless you were infantry. So in 10th edition, you saw a lot of infantry because it was the only way to move through the board.
That's because you had walls everywhere.
Exactly.
You had L's and U's shapes, buildings everywhere on the board.
Now.
And we're not getting that.
I want to combine two things here about this. This is what's interesting. So one, I now don't need infantry anymore to move across the board. And two, cover is kind of a pain in the ass to get. So now all of a sudden, this has potential to be a much more vehicle addition.
Yes.
Or battle suit.
Things will fly because you have to be completely behind shit now as opposed to in it, which means you need fast moving stuff that has things like the fly keyword where you can actually jump over all this shit.
And that's what the other one is. So now everything still has, they did keep the templates, which is good, or whatever they call it, the base things, which is nice. So now if I'm behind something, you can't see me. If I'm in something,
they still have,
you can see me.
It's solid now, but it's obscuring. Basically, if you're completely behind.
The angles of this terrain are so easy to hit.
100%. Well, it's because, again, you're not just jammed up behind walls. I'm excited to see this played. Let's talk about some of the stratagems and stuff, because I think this is a huge deal.
The one more thing I want to talk about with this is around these things is this is going to be a very killy edition. That's kind of what the conclusion I want to get to around this. When we talk about this, that's the conclusion. I mean, Brett and I talked about this a lot. Other players, we've talked about this. This edition is probably not going to be a lot of five turns. Because the other piece too that we didn't talk about is we've moved objectives. We used to have objective markers that were certain places. Now your objective is in these terrain pieces, and
it is the terrain pieces. So before you would go, hey, here's an objective, and I'd hide behind the terrain and stand on the objective. Now the terrain is the objective, and if I'm in the objective, you can see me because I'm in the objective, and
there is no way to hide anymore. So if I'm holding an objective,
which I'm actually good about because we played a very big game of hopscotching and hide, even though like my battle cry is not in the face, I'm okay with that.
It's going to be a slaughter fest of an edition.
That's well, what I'll also, say.
I want to go into this top strat because this is a big deal.
The strats are brutal.
No, we're just talking about what's called core strats, which everyone has access to.
So, I assume you don't mean command reroll?
No, command reroll can screw off. Also, one of the hugest things in 11th edition, if you spend a stratagem on a unit, you cannot do anything else with them. So you can't spend another strat. So for instance, I'm playing my Blood Angels and I use Advance and Charge, a stratagem. I can't target that unit with another strat, which means that if I roll my charge and I can't get there, I cannot re-roll that charge because that is a stratagem.
Is it for the round or the phase?
I gotta scroll through it again. I think I don't remember if it's the round or the phase.
It's phase.
So you're fine. But I'm saying that's the same phase.
Right. Okay. I thought advance and charge was used at end of movement phase.
No, it depends.
Sometimes they move them around. That's why. Because some of them, it's like at the end of the movement phase, you declare that you're going to do this. And I've had people hit me with that one. It's like, you actually have to declare at the end of your movement phase. All right. Whatever. Fine.
But the thing is, you can't do like, hey, I'm playing Blades or Ultramar. As soon as you shoot me, I pop 3/4 defensive strats. Can't do that anymore, which is actually really nice. Yeah. One of the strats that changed quite a bit, I didn't even realize this until Horton explained it or pointed it out to me, Heroic Intervention. Heroic Intervention is this giant card.
Awesome. The new Heroic is brutal. Yeah,
the regular Heroic is exactly the same. It's not exactly the same.
Into the Fray is awesome.
It's within 12, yes.
Yeah.
But so Heroic Intervention is now, instead of 6 inches, it's 12 inches. And then you roll to see if you can basically make a charge on your opponent's phase after all charges are done. Now, for one more CP, so for 2 CP, you can, as long as somebody's within 6 inches of you, you can just go.
You missed something. So the first part of it is you have to target someone who charged.
So yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you didn't say it. So I know.
Okay.
That's why.
So the first part of it is 1 CP. If someone charged at the end of the charge phase, you can try to basically counter charge them. The second part of it is called leap into the fray. And if someone's within 6 inches of you at the end of the charge phase, they don't have to have made a charge. For 2 CP instead of 1 CP, I can just charge that unit.
Yes.
Which is a huge deal,
that is devastating for a lot of armies, which means you have 100%. To now, if you're playing a melee army, you have to get out of the way. You cannot, you have to watch out, because if you have something I don't think it was going to leave berserkers within 6 inches of them, for example, but you got to be aware that they could
just make that huge, you get within 6 inches, you're trying to take that, you're sitting on that terrain piece. You definitely don't want to be 6 inches because it's still at the end of the charge phase, but it's your opponent's charge phase.
What I'd have to ask Horton is, would this work with a surge move?
No, because surge moves are in your opponent's shooting phase.
That's what I mean.
What's that? No, this is specifically, this is a different phase. This is the end of the charge phase.
Yeah, other way around. That's why I'm mixing them up. But yeah.
Now, I'll give you the same thing, and Horton made fun of me last night. What I really like is the stratagem keys. So basically, if you have two arrows, it's either player's turn, down arrow, your opponent's turn.
I'll never hear that.
And up arrow is your opponent's turn. But what she said was green, blue, red is actually what it is.
Up, up, down, down, left, right. Yeah, no, you're okay. By the way, it's not. He is right. They are colored. Oh, that's just mean. That's just mean for Brad.
Whatever. Double arrow, down arrow, up arrow.
That's just mean for Brad. Couple other fun changes. Another one is disembarking.
Disembarking is huge.
Yeah, disembarking is another really big one. So disembarking has been another one that's been gamed a lot. And so for people who don't get disembarking, it's just getting out of something. That's what it is. The issue with getting out of something is it's a way to get some extra movement. And there's some fun tricks people can do around this. Regular disembarking, no one cares. That part's easy. But what matters a lot more is what they're going to call here combat disembarkment, or I guess.
Well, it's not gaming anymore. They effectively made it. No, that's emergency disembarkation.
Emergency is a big one. Combat.
The changes are big on this because, one, combat disembarkation. So if you had tried to surround my vehicle, but I still have distance. So normal disembarkation, rapid, they call it rapid and tactical. Basically, is your vehicle moved or has it not moved? So that's the only two differences. Yep. But combat disembarkation is 6 inches. So if John puts a bunch of his witches all over my Rhino, my transport, and I can't fit normally, I can make a combat disembarkation move, which means I can get out within six. Now, I take a hazardous roll, which means on a 1 and 2, I take a wound. However, I can put my models in, which has never been done before. I can put them in engagement range of your models.
Yeah.
Which is actually a big deal if I'm a hand. Because if you have, during the hero out of the boys.
That moves me an inch closer, but also you had to with a 2-inch engagement range.
No, but I'm just saying that, yes. What it's a big deal, though, because if I have a melee unit and you were trying to surround, if your storm boys were trying to make me not get out of the vehicle, yeah, and Hurod and the Masters of the Maelstrom get out and I'm in engagement with you, I'm going to go, I want to have a talk with you about you trying to make it so I couldn't get out of here. That's a big
deal. It is kind of thematic, though, the idea of like a bunch of storm boys hitting the outside of a Rhino with a chopper and then like Hurod walking out like, what? What is the conversation you need to have right now?
Like before, in 10th edition, if you did not have the space to get out within normal 3-inch, you just couldn't get out. So actually, John,
one rule I don't know is, and this is, you can ask me right now. So what if you can't get all the models out? So let's say I surround you, all right? And I take my boys, I surround your transport, and you can't get all of the guys out. Can you get a portion out?
No. So the only way you can get not everybody out is if the vehicle actually exploded and I made
then you're allowed to be, then you're allowed to have a portion
that you can if I do an emergency disembarkation.
Okay. But the emergency is also big because now it's ones and twos. So they increased it. It used to be on a 1, you lost a model. Now it's a 1 and a 2.
It's not one. But you take still taking wounds. You just take wounds.
Yeah, but that's it. But it used to be on a 1, you lost the model. Now,
no, one it is two. Not. In 10th edition, it was always one. With, one,
was a one damage. I thought you lost the model. Well, looks like I pulled some models I shouldn't have.
I mean, you actually had a bunch of one wound models.
I put 11 models. It didn't really matter. I just say, like, don't care.
Yeah, no, it's just a wound, but you take a wound on a 1 and 2 instead of a 1. I like this quite a bit because you have larger engagement, so it's harder to get people out if somebody's on top of you. So they basically gave you an option to just go, hey, would you like to just be engaged with this unit? Yeah. You are battle shocked on this.
Yeah, so I can't use a stratagem on you. Whatever. I mean, that's all that's going to really matter.
You can't use stratagem though, so it's a big deal in that. So whatever.
Like it's
fine. Your merit is the official.
Well, it's because in 9th and 8th edition, I think back to 9th and 8th edition where you lost a model on the 1 or the 2. So yeah. I'll take the no stratagem over like, oh, like you blow up. If you're a custode player, it's like, oh, cool, I lost 2 dudes versus 1 dude's down to 1 wound.
Yeah. This is why it was so much easier in 10th and 11th. In 8th and 9th, you just lost guys, period. Now you're taking wounds. If you feel no pain, you can just shake that off, by the way.
Yeah, it's done.
Just lost guys, period.
All right, now let's talk about the leader thing, because this one's a little bit wonky.
I like this.
So the first part of it, I like. The second part of it, I don't. So I guess it makes sense, but it's weird.
But you know, let's talk about it. I'm going to talk about the things that are different on this. So before, if you brought a leader back, a lot of people had things that said, you know, Necrons, Battle Sisters, things.
Let me back you up one bit, though. So one of the challenges before was if a leader is leading a unit, there's a bonus. So I'll use an easy one, War Bosses. When War Bosses lead a unit, they get +1 to their hit roll. Simple, yes. Easy, done. The problem is if that war boss, if you killed the whole unit and the war boss was alive, that bonus is gone. So now the war boss goes back to hitting on, unless it was 2s, unless it was a power claw. You know, so let's go 3s. Okay.
So,
which is a thing. Now they're saying, no, if he was ever attached to a unit, that bonus is there forever. So it stays hitting on 2s, which is nice. It's just a little bit
easy. That's nice. The bigger thing is bringing guys back.
But this is where it gets goofy. And I guess it makes sense.
It used to be so annoying. So if I was part of War Boss Brad is leading a unit and I am with 10 boys. If I got killed and then brought back, I would no longer be with that unit. I would be out of engagement range and not part of the unit. Now, if you precision out a character, you precision out a sister, anybody that has the ability to resurrect a model, a character, Necron, sisters are two that come to mind. Now, if I'm in combat, I rejoin my unit and I'm in engagement range and I continue to fight. So before you were, you just got set to the side all weird, which I thought was stupid. Yeah. You just, you join the fray again.
Okay. And that's, that is, that part's fine. It's the other part where, and this goes back to the thing we mentioned earlier where, okay, if I kill a unit down and the character's left, I can't overwatch him if he runs behind a wall. But in case of Necrons with reanimation protocols, that character could run behind a wall and hang out back there for a couple turns and regain three or four models and come right back out from behind that wall with quite a nice unit fighting back up.
No, because the unit's not there anymore.
No, the unit's still there. That's the unit's there. Mm. That's how I've interpreted this, because the bodyguard, it still counts.
He just gets the bonuses from it. I'm looking at the abilities and attached unit.
The unit, it's still considered.
You know what? We're gonna have to go to the rules guys for this one.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll end on a question. How about
that? Yeah, that can be a question. That's how I'm getting this off Reddit, but that's how people have interpreted it to me, is that because they have that still counts. It's still a full unit. That was the part I didn't like. You could actually res up. You could bring unit. You could bring the whole unit back.
I can see that. If that is the case.
If I'm wrong, I'm happy to be wrong about that. I'm okay with being wrong about that. But that was one of the things I was pushing back on. So if I'm wrong, cool. Forget my complaint. But that was the one that I was like, hey, that's not cool. So, yeah. So there's that one. Don't love it. Don't really care about the repositioning and strat reserve. That means nothing to me. Surge moves means nothing to me. Fly is awesome. R is great. Plunging fire is stupid.
Plunging fire is cool.
So the reason I like plunging fire is, so here's the problem with plunging fire. It's just a very simple problem. What ballistic skill do you give knights? The issue with plunging fire
is they're hitting on twos all the time now.
That's what unless you move into fours, because the reason why I bring this up is that Tau players and Votan players know what I'm talking about. When you give an army a very easy access to +1 to hit, GW has a history of reducing their ballistic skill. And so the problem is that, do they then move knights to a ballistic skill of 4, which is stupid. It's a knight. I mean, as much as I don't really like knights, I will defend knight players and be like, that thing should probably not hit on 50% of the time. You know what I mean? That's dumb.
You still have, like, they're going to have a hard time not getting people in cover and stuff like that because they're big. So, whatever.
But it's one of those areas where, like, that's why the issue of plunging fire is I just think they shouldn't have given it to knights. That was all my issue, because I think it creates a weird mechanic on knights.
It is, they have to be 12 inches away, which most of the time they'll be that, but.
It's just one of those areas of, let me say it a different way. The start of 10th edition, how much fun were knights on the board?
Dude, knights and wraith, I can go.
Yeah, and so we're opening 11th edition with the exact same thing. And so
not as much.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, come on, guys, this is avoidable. Unforced errors. What are we doing? Unforced errors. That's all. So I also did like the addition of cleave. Another nice thing they did solve for is now
blast for hand-to-hand.
Yeah, hand-to-hand blast is nice. One thing, you know, certain models like the Lion, obviously. Oh, we got to talk about fight first in a second. But the Lion having the ability to have, you know, I can hit you with my big attack or my sweep attack. Now a lot more people get this like kind of baby version of sweep, which I like, because it was a way to kind of horde armies. I play horde, but there's kind of levels to horde. I would like to see not have to see gargoyles anymore on the board. Candidly,
I love gargoyles.
Right, but gargoyles. They get abusive pretty quickly. And I think this edition, it feels like, I'll be kidding, reading a lot of the rules, someone doesn't like gargoyles, because like the nine inch rule, right? You can't make a surge move if you come in from deep strike. You can't, I think if you make a surge, there's a bunch of restrictions and all of gargoyles do. And now you've added cleave. So basically gargoyles disappear if they're on the board. But we actually, when we talked about fight phase, we totally forgot to talk about how they did fight first, and I couldn't be happier about it.
It is 100% what it should have been.
Exactly. They invalidated the abuse of fight.
Yes.
It's a better
way. It was so dumb before.
The Lion.
All it is, the active player chooses the first fight.
Yeah.
Of fight first. It was the defender before. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't play the game, one of the real
problems in 10th edition was some models had a rule called fight first. And the way that 10th edition was written is the defending player actually has the first fight. And if they have a fight first, but charges give you fight first. But if defending player picks first, if they have a model with fight first, they pick first. So in effect, a model with fight first who gets charged actually is the first model to activate. So a unit that's very powerful in melee with fight first was incredibly dangerous and almost invincible in some scenarios. And we'll use the Lion as a good example of this. The Lion had fight first or a Judiciar leading blade guard.
Judge Judy.
Yeah, Judge Judy. The issue is if you charge it, they will activate first and they will slaughter whatever you put into it. So if you charge it, you're basically just giving them something to kill. And even if you charge it with two units, you had to charge it with two units that were tough enough to handle at least one chunk of the attacks in order to kill them back. And it was stupid. So these units would just, you could, all you could do was shoot them. Otherwise they just wander around the board, just being left alone. In 11th edition, they have adapted this and they've said, no, the player whose turn it is to attack gets to fight the very first fight.
Gets the first, and gets to choose
then the fight first, which the fight first people are a little bit upset about because they realize their fight first characters are going to die pretty quickly because probably going to fight them first.
It's effectively a free interrupt. So, I mean, it's where it should have been.
Yeah, I agree. It's where it should be. It's just, it lessens the value of those units. Like the Judiciar, once again, is going to get dusty. He was really cool at the start of, was it 9th edition when he came out? And then he got really dusty for a little bit, and then he got polished off, and he got a lot of play in 10th edition, and now he's going to go back to being pretty dusty again. Doesn't really do anything otherwise.
I don't know. You still can't fight multiple combats for free on it, so I still think that it's good. I mean, really? It's just where it should be.
Will you run a Judiciar?
I never run a Judiciar.
I know.
But no, because it's a big deal. You remember thinking about orcs when you're Warhorde because of the fact that you had Fight on Death and Interrupt. It was a huge
fight on
deal.
Death. Get that for free. Still fantastic. Fight on Death is amazing. That is that's magnificent. What else are we missing? What other new world? Psychic Phase is still gone. Womp. Womp. But yeah, and then I think last little bit we'll get into is kind of what our hopes are for the edition then, because I think that's kind of all the rules that we probably should talk about. And now, what do we think the edition's going to be other than brutally killy?
It's going to be very alpha striking. I think it's not just killy. It's going to be alpha striking.
It's all three turn games.
It depends. It'll be one of the things of.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before we get into this, if anyone wanted coaching on this, could they email somewhere to get coaching advice?
You know what? You could. I won't get it. oldmanbrad40k@gmail.com.
Anyway, but if you want to not get coaching advice, you could email that or join our Discord. But as far as this edition goes, I think, yeah. So if people want to build an army for 11th edition, that's probably Iron Hands or Iron Warriors wasn't a good call, but I don't care. I'm still doing it. What should they be leaning into?
Speed. I think that speed damage. And damage.
whatever. Yeah, it'll still
speed and damage.
Well, my army's shiny. Whatever, that counts for something. Yeah, it's just gonna be speed. It's all getting angles basically in this edition.
It's getting angles at the distance. It's being able to close the distance and getting angles on people.
Do you think that you can be tanky enough to survive? Do you think the Custodes can handle this? I think
Custodes are going to be fine enough because of the fact that Rapid Ingress and Deep Strike now exists. You know what I mean? They have good shooting. If you Rapid Ingress somewhere and you make it, again, Rapid Ingress is a stratagem that says at the end of your opponent's move phase, you get to bring a unit in, and Custodes come from the sky so they can put their models anywhere. I think this is super devastating now because of the changes to the melee, being able to, they could just touch your army after they put themselves in a perfect position. You're going to see people rapid ingressing on 2 and 3 every single turn, every single game. I already see a lot of that, but
my question on Custodes though is, can they hold objectives in this edition?
They can if all your guys are dead, for sure.
Yeah, because this is what I'm trying to figure out about this edition is I'm looking at it, you know, we're going to do, I'm having a bunch of people over and we're going to practice.
I mean, you might, to be honest with you, maybe I'm completely wrong on that. I've been wrong. I'll be wrong again. You know what I mean? But I think that there's a real chance Right. You're not going to see that much tanky shit. I think that you're going to see a lot of damage come out. It's going
to
be fun.
And that's what I'm wondering, because what I'm trying to think about is, like, I don't know what, you know, 13 armies, right? What do I own that could actually, that I can take that much shooting? Because the truth of the matter is, you have to be able to take a quarter of your opponent's shooting.
Yeah. You're going to have to be in the open. And you're not getting the plus one. The plus one to cover save was a big deal.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm going through it, even if I think about my, you know, I have Death Guard army. So my Terminators, I mean, they're tough, man. They're tough. But can they really handle a quarter of my opponent's army shooting at them, assuming they'll be AP one coming in? They'll be in cover. I can probably get them into a terrain feature. So they'll be minus one to hit, but the opponent finds a way around that. But they're saving on threes. We're not saving on twos anymore. This is what I'm wondering. Can they really hold an objective, or are we going to be in an edition where, you know, you're holding your home and you're trying to hold one other, you know? And then when you look at Tau, who coming up the board on you hard and fast, they're going to be coming out of those devil fish all over the place. Overwatch is, you know, it's just, this is why I'm wondering for an edition as far as building goes, it is going to be a hold, just try to kill as much as you can and hope that they can't clap you back.
Just ready. Garbage goes out, scores, and then you keep killing their garbage, and then you kill their real shit. There you go.
But can the garbage go out and score, though? Because that's my thing.
Yes, because some of the, what we have to talk is when you see the missions, though. Like, some of the missions are scored at the end of your turn now, as opposed to just holding things.
I saw a couple of those. The thing is, it's just, there's nowhere to hide. It's that element. I look at these boards. I look at these boards. There's nowhere to hide. And especially unless they change ranges, man, autocannons got real good in this edition. I'm glad I was happy this stuff came out before I finished building this army, because I wasn't going to put autocannons on my Havocs. Now I'm like,
wow, they're good, dude.
Yeah. Because before, it was AP1 flat three damage wasn't that good. Now, tell me more about this AP1 flat three damage with guns, please.
Yes. It's such a big deal now.
Oh my God. Like, the last cannons, I'll still put them on there, but AP1 flat three damage. Really? But sustained. Really?
Legit.
This could hurt. Yeah.
You can also push up on stuff. I mean, you're going to create stuff. You're going to create movement. You're going to make people get, you already have to do that a bit. I do like, as much as I like hiding and abusing stuff because I play a competitive game.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I can't just sit on a wall, go to the new wall. It made the way that you play the game the same every time. Hell, I coach that right now in 10th edition. I go turn one, and depending on whether you went first or second, turn two are the same thing every time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're going to do. You know exactly what I'm going to do. That's just how the game's played. And maybe it'll be kind of that way. I don't know, but I'm hoping it's going to be different, especially with the different detachments and the way that missions now work, depending on what detachments you have. Because we're playing a different mission based on what you brought and I brought.
Yeah, completely. And although I'm waiting to see, that's the one piece I haven't seen yet, how the competitive piece is going to be. We see it for the casual play.
We'll see it. Yeah. I actually think that this edition is the best casual edition.
It is the best. Oh, hands down. The beer and pretzel version is amazing. It doesn't translate correct for competitive. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. But like, for if you, you just come into your house and playing a game, this is awesome.
Oh, this is going to be, it's going to be so much fun. You're going to have so much diversity. It is going to be a really great way to play the game. Really, really great way to play the game. It's that I'm excited for. My questions are still more around from at the tournament level, because you just can't do that at the tournament level. I want to see little bits and pieces.
100%. Yeah.
But I think for now that the addition is shaping up to be, well, they just need to fix that melee thing, because that is dangerous. I really do believe that the melee thing is the whole charge phase, and then not limiting where I put my models is dangerous. It is going to get abused, and it's going to have to get fixed pretty quickly, because I guess, look, you and I are both friends. I mean, I'm friends with you. You play melee. I play melee. I'm not very good at this game, but we have friends who, but I have friends between you and other people who are very good with melee armies, who will make that a horrible experience.
100%. But it's going to be
cough, Alan.
see what we have on that. I'm excited for the new edition, though. How about that?
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's like, and the truth is, like, we're supposed to have growing pains. The start of an edition is supposed to have growing pains. And I will say, the stuff coming out now, thanks to the way the world is these days, we figure out these growing pains quick. And with the way GW is, they can adjust them quickly. My expectation is that by November, we'll have a pretty good version of this edition, and it will continue to improve as we go through. I just will not be surprised if when I play in July and August, there are some, all right, this game's going to suck games. That's okay. And that's okay. That's part of this. That's just, I'm not upset about it. I just am, whatever. You just accept it. I'm also playing with little dumb plastic figures.
Playing with toy soldiers, baby. Always like that.
But anyway, that's been good. I just wanted to kind of have something fun for y'all to listen to and listen to Brad and I potentially be horrifically wrong about a few things.
As I am want to be. Yeah.
If you want more competitive stuff, I will send you guys a link in the show notes to Brad's channel. He's doing a lot more stuff over there where he talks much more competitively than I should or do or can. So check that out. Some really great stuff over there. Give him a follow. Help his channel grow. But there we go. Until then. John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys then.